Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. I welcome all of you to the Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of today's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today we have with us His Grace Gaur Nataraj Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Madhya Leela of 25.152 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining the call and giving your association and enlightening us on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now I hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Prabhuji, will you be on YouTube?
No, Mataji.
Okay, no problem.
I did not prepare for the YouTube. So, anyway, I will start prayers. Om Ajnana Tinirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamakyam Sudati Supadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Apadakamalam Sri Guru Nvaishnavam Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sagana Raghunatha Amitam Tam Sudivam Sadvaitam Tavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Vita Sri Visakhanitam Sri Krishna Kruna Sindhu Dina Vandita Kalpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tatta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Mancha Kalpata Rupyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhe Vidapati Janam Pavane Bheshna Vyana Manama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vayam tu navrtyaptyam uttama shloka vikrame, yat sanvatam rasajnanam swadu swadu pade pade. Translation. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who enjoy association with him relish hearing his pastimes at every moment. So if we so this is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srila Prabhupada in the purport to this verse explains that there is a difference between the material mundane fictional stories, olden stories, and actual history. This is actual history. So, when these are read, heard, these are dynamic. These are not static like matter. So, mundane activities make one satiated, but transcendental literature is different from mundane. So, even the Brahmavadis, so they are just repeating Aham Brahmasmi. But the real spiritually enlightened or elevated people, they study Srimad Bhagavatam. And so that is the difference between mundane and transcendental. So this is very interesting because I'm almost finishing my translation or my book on Yoga Sutras. And in the Yoga Sutras, especially, like I was having a discussion with Graham Schwig, Garuda Prabhu. And of course, he is also writing a book on the Yoga Sutra. And even at either of the three levels, that is the Yoga Sutra, Gita, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that the ultimate happiness or the ultimate spiritual realization is at the point of surrendering unto the Lord. Interestingly, in the Yoga Sutras, he says, Samadhi Siddhir Ishwara Pranidhanat. Even for the yogi, the real destination is the lotus feet of Krishna. So, Prabhupada explains here that Mayavadi, just realizing Aham Brahmasmi, is static, because yoga is not complete without connection to the Supreme. The self, the swarupa of the self, is immaterial. If it cannot find its yoga, its connection with Krishna, the swarupa of the self, the soul, the name of the self, the form of the self, the soul, and its activities are nothing independent of Krishna. If I say I am Krishna Das, and when I say I am Krishna Das, and I am not able to realize Krishna, then there is no meaning for Das. So Krishna Das is only in relation to Krishna, and then the Dasa comes. So that is what Srila Prabhupada is explaining, that the very, very critical point, that just realizing Aham Brahmasmi means nothing. Because that dynamic relationship with Krishna, that is the real yoga. Therefore, a Brahmavadi, so in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, so there is the destination of the Brahmavadi, that is Brahman. Paramatmavadi is not very clear. Paramatmavadi is in the air, so to speak. But he has to go either way. But usually a yogi nama visarvesha madgatena antaratmana shaddhavan bhajate yomam samayuktatamimataha. That yogi who makes me his heart and soul. So then he enters the next level of bhakti. Samadhi Siddhir Ishwara Pranidhanat. So such a yogi. And even otherwise, if a yogi actually meditates on the heart, yesterday I was reading the chapter 8, Bhagavad Gita 11 to 13. And in that, Krishna explains that one should raise the life airs to the top of the head. So by that time, if you see what Dhruva did, it is the same. Where you push the pranavayu into the Sushumna Nadi, and all the chakras are pierced literally in the backbone area, and the pranavayu raises to the head. So literally your body is motionless because all the air is raised and in the head, and the yogi is ready to quit his body. Now very interestingly, Krishna explains that one should meditate on the region of the heart, because heart is the region of prana, atma, paramatma, mana. All these subtle bodies and prana, the soul, super soul, everything originates in the soul, in the heart region. Now meditating on the heart region and chanting Omkara Omkara is none other than Krishna. But he says chanting Omkara and thinking of Krishna. Oh, it is a very, very wonderful. So, Omkara should eventually lead to thinking of Krishna. So, there is no point in Brahmava. So, that is why when the Prabhupada says, so this verse, if you understand very clearly, even if one is chanting Om, the meditation should be the form of Krishna, the personal form of Krishna. So that is what is one to get. One has to get attached to. So that is what Krishna explains in the 7th chapter. Now I will explain you that yoga by which your mind will become attached to me. So basically, the mind which is attached, attached to Krishna. So basically, we are, all our disturbances, according to Yoga Sutra and the Bhagavatam, we can have two types of thoughts. When the soul is about to fall down from the spiritual world, just before, you can say just before he gets his green card for material world, which Trump has stopped now. So, before he about to fall down, he gets something called as avidya. So, if you research third canto, or if you research folio, you will find ignorance. So, ignorance, avidya, is an eternal companion of the soul. So, that is darkness. So, this avidya, the soul is covered with this avidya. That's it. This is Maya's eternal energy, avidya. So that is why all acharyas sing the same thing. Avidyarabhare. Avidyarabhare. So if one understands the root cause, so the root cause is avidya. Avidyarabhare. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's first Sikshastakam, Seto Darpana Marjanam, Bhavamaha Dhavagni Nirvapanam, Reya Kairava Chandrika Vidaranam, Vidya Vadu Jeevanam. So Vidya is the counter. Now this ignorance, in the Yoga Sutras he gives it very beautifully, the same as Bhagavad Gita, but it is very explicitly, the background is explained. What does this avidya lead to? Ignorance lead to asmita. And he explains in the Kaivalya, in the liberation part, that the root cause of our attachment to this world is ego, asmita. So ignorance leads to attachment with the body. So there is, you can see, so what is happening is, the knowledge, so it's like you are in darkness. You are in darkness. And you are in a room and you have to look at yourself in a mirror because it is dark. Your eyes do not have the power to see. And you have to use practically the soul is using a torch and looking at the mirror. So, the soul's consciousness, so the next to the soul is the intelligence. So it is said the consciousness, the light of the soul is reflected by the intelligence. And it is reflected onto the mind. And when the soul is reflecting this consciousness and is reflected to the whole body, this consciousness. Now, ego, because of ignorance, this ego takes over by default. You see, there is something called, in the computer language, there is if, then, but. So there is a default. If this is not there, then the default mode means like YouTube. Default means now 360p when it is streaming. So because of huge usage right now, because of lockdown, they have set YouTube streaming power to 360p. So if you want to change, you have to change it manually. So by default, this ego, he appropriates this light, reflection from the soul onto the consciousness, onto the intelligence. And when it is getting reflected to the whole body, this ego is becoming the filter. And that is the result of avidya, asmita. And what does asmita lead to? What does this filter lead to? Raga, dvesha, abhinivesha. And this is in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song also. So abhinivesha means fear. Fear of death. Moment you identify with the ego, we have a big mission in this world. What is our big mission? Desire. You can see every movie is based on that. He wants to become a millionaire. He wants to kill the people who killed his village people. All this revenge, this, that. So these are all mundane. These are all a measure of ego. We want to save the world. We are not there to save the world. Krishna is saving the world, will become a medium. That's all. Ultimately, we have got nothing to do with this world. So to the degree the ego is predominant, raga, dvesha, abhinivesha are the effect of raga, dvesha, abhinivesha is very, very strong. Raga, dvesha, abhinivesha. So Sukhanushai Raga, all the pleasurable experiences in this world lead to attachment. And all the bad experiences in this world lead to aversion. So detachment is fine, but not aversion. So we are either attached or we are averse. So both are dangerous. At the same time, we are always fearful. Why we are fearful? Even if there is not so much Raga Dvesha, but every moment, so either of these three feelings become dominant. And abhinivesha, if not raga dvesha, abhinivesha is prevalent. That is fear. Oh, I'm becoming old. I have to get retirement fund. This, that. Life has become so complicated. We are all preparing, everybody is preparing for retirement, income and this and that and living, and by the time there is no energy. There is always fear. We don't know when we are going to die. So, this raga, dvesha, abhinivesha, and in one word, Bhagavatam explains the result of all these activities, raga, dvesha, abhinivesha, is only lamentation. Animal life is fear, human life is lamentation, and the heavenly life is full of happiness. So this particular emotion dominates. Now today's world, everybody is lamenting what is happening to this world. Oh, it should not be happening, and so many people are losing jobs. It's all lamentation. But lamentation is a result of raga, dvesha, abhinivesha. Everyone is so attached to mundane pleasures. Or they are so averse, we don't like this country, even at the country level. That even if something good has to come from each other, no, we have to fight and this is how we will live. And ultimately now there is the consequences. It's because of inter-country competition. If the whole world was one family, even if this virus, nobody would have developed it, or even if it was there, if everyone was in a helping mood, nobody would have let this harm one another. Whereas it looks like deliberately somebody is trying to harm one another. And even if it is, this is an unprecedented situation, very few are able to intellectually deal with this because everybody has so much raga, dvesha, abhinivesha, interest, personal interest, business interest, financial interest, political interest behind all this, instead of the well-being of the people. It's only on the platform of the soul you can think of so the spiritual well-being of the soul. So, with all this insight, the mind, so Patanjali calls it Nirmana Chitta. So Nirmana Chitta means we produce a Nirmana Chitta, we produce a artificial, illusionary mind. We produce a balloon. This ego blows up, it produces a balloon. Oh, we have the famous Disneyland, we have this, my country is this. So we have this, all this illusion sitting in our head. This country has the biggest, this. So this Nirmana, we construct an illusionary world. And he says this illusionary world comes crashing down at the point of death. And not everyone realizes this, even at death. He is continuously born from one ignorance. He is pulled from one ignorance to another. But the fortunate point is that the devotees of the Lord, however, now, when we say devotee of the Lord, we have to realize it is those who are 100% engaged. So when we say devotee, means he is very, very regulated. So one of the things that many devotees discuss or many devotees face problems is when chanting. So when we chant, the thoughts, all the news, all the headache, everything comes at that point of time, it begins to blurt out. And in one sense, we are unable to flow this, stop this tide of thoughts, basically. So before the seventh chapter, when Krishna says mind should be attached to him, Krishna has already given a formula by which this pain, these disturbing thoughts, when you look at it technically, these disturbing thoughts can be overcome. We are trying to fight the symptom than the root. So when we say, when we chant, we try to do this, we try to do that. No. The formula is already given. Yukta ahara viharasya yukta chestasya karmasu yukta svapna avabodasya yogo bhavati dukkha. That yuktahara by, like I'm in now the 24th day of my fasting on chia seed water from our book Food from the Soul, and literally yesterday I just drank half of it and I practiced my yoga and by the end of it, now the hunger levels are so low. As your body comes to the mode of goodness, as you practice this, you will realize that what we actually eat, I am realizing that even after, I have one more week to go for 30 days. But even after this, I am realizing that I will never go back to normal eating. What we called normal eating. Because basically what we eat is overeat. And we don't even realize it. In the Tibetan saying, there it is said, one should eat half of one's hunger. Half of one's hunger one should eat. And one should drink enough water. Double of the water that he desires to drink, he should drink double of that water. Never lament. Should always be joyful because that is very, very healthy for the body. Now, the formula there, if you see, 60% of your health, 60% of your health is your diet. How is diet compared to chanting? Very much. You eat rajasic food, and you use masala, chili, this, that, miso sauce, soya sauce, cultured bread, yeast bread, sourdough bread, all these things. Heavy foods. That's not yogic food. If you listen to Amarendra Prabhu's class on diet, I would recommend all of you listen to that. He says bread is like for poor people. Poor people in the sense, people who literally cannot afford anything else. It is like the last resort. That is bread, and that is the most common thing today, because that is the lowest class of food we are eating. There is a yogi, Prabhupada says, whole grains, whole vegetables, freshly cooked, offered to the Lord, mode of goodness. Yukta ahara viharasya, yukta chestasya karmasu. If you overwork and then try to chant, then you will have a backlash of thoughts, because overwork, that is subtly producing a mental aberration also. Remember, your body and the mind, they are of same shape and they move accordingly. When you overwork the body and the mind, then the mind is also, what is the base, the ego is getting disturbed. All your activities should be controlled, because you realize that this is within my karma, this is how much I should work, and then at one point, snap, stop, that's it. This is all I need. But we don't stop at that. We are forced to work to get, because of today's fear, that everybody is fearful, if I don't make this much money, by this time I will collapse. So, and in the uncertainty, and that's what the Rakshasas want to do. They want to create all uncertainty, 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 and everybody is in that uncertainty. And the basic premise of bhakti is Rakshayati Iti Vishwasu. Ramanujacharya says, one who has taken shelter of Krishna, Rakshayati Iti Vishwasu. You should have full faith. Why simply worry all the time? No, surrender unto the Lord. If Lord wants to give you something, who can take it away? So, yukta chestasya karma, so yukta swapna, sleeps early, sleeps well. Chestasya, yukta swapna, avabodhasya, wake up properly. Yogo bhavati dukkha. Wonderful. That yoga makes you painless. Painless means mind is completely free. There is no fear, there is no raga, there is no abhinivesha. You are eating just enough, senses are not agitated. You are working also optimally. Body and mind are not strained. So rajoguna. Rajoguna means the agitation. You are literally agitating. So that is in the material endeavor, mundane endeavor. Now, when all this is done, yogo bhavati dukkha. So Krishna is saying this has to be done before you engage in meditation. Dukkha. You should leave aside all material agitating thoughts, desires, activities, everything. So 22 hours we are engaged. Of course, many of us do study all that. So, but in general, sleeping, daily activities, office work, this, that, it is taking so much of our energy. And then the 2 hours that we try to chant, but this dukkha, if it is achieved, then you look at your level of chanting. When you are chanting completely free, when the body is disease free, when the mind is disease free, what are the diseases of the mind? Yoga Rasya Krishnamacharya explains that kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsara. Art of work, doing work, yoga. What is the art of doing work? To work without agitating your senses. So what happens? Today's work ethic is that we work, 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 work. And then PGIS. then we have to blast out that frustration like a coiled spring in a bar at the weekend. So yoga means a devotee works in such a way without agitating the senses. He keeps focusing on the soul, that I am doing this externally, but like one, I was doing astrology for one devotee and he was saying his boss was being very hurtful. So I said, until and unless you detach and withdraw, there's no point in confrontation. But how much you can tolerate and remain detached from it, that is the main thing. Not just tolerate and get frustrated, that's another coiled spring. One has to get detached. So without getting that detached, yoga bhavati dukkha, where is the higher level of chanting? When one is completely free. So what is bhakti? Bhakti means there is no motivation, material motivation, that is to speak. Ahaituki apratihata. That is only for the development of the soul only. There is no material purpose. That is why material purpose, that is why varanashrama means, Maharaj, I was just listening to Maharaj's class just before my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Raghu Maharaj's class, and his class not many people listen or like because he's only speaking on varnashrama. But he said, now the world is realizing more and more. Why did people, so many people die due to this COVID is because the body is so much in tamoguna, lack of immunity. Ayurveda says, yoga says, if you are in the mode of goodness, then the body has the all the immunity. There is no immunity. It's all rajasic and tamasic life. So, no, not connected to nature, not eating fresh food, all, you know, supporting, in the name of supporting local restaurants, this and that. It's all tamasic food, basically. Very, very tamasic. And he says the goal of varnashrama is to bring people to the mode of goodness. The entire premise is not just earning money, to make your livelihood yet remain in the mode of goodness for elevation to mode of pure goodness. That is varnashrama. So the element, the essential element of varnashrama occupation, which is not present in the cities today because of urbanization, but the critical element of that was to bring people to the mode of goodness. So, in the mode of goodness, then this verse becomes relevant. Because when you talk about samadhi or surrender, that means the previous steps are already followed. Practically speaking, when you are talking about pure bhakti, that means he is already liberated. But if we are not yet liberated, is there hope that we can relish the pastimes? And Garuda Prabhu gave a beautiful answer when I asked this question. Because practically speaking, in the yoga platform, we have to go through the complete purification of asana, pranayama, all these things. And then you have to hear karma yoga, jnana yoga. All this, you have to go through the purification. But the name of Krishna is not subjected to material law. It's not mundane sound. So the sound that we experience on a material platform, that is not, Krishna's name is not that sound. Krishna's sound, Krishna's name is transcendental. And somehow that unlimited transcendental sound manages to, for us, because we can hear only material sound. Remember, there are even ranges of sound that are beyond our hearing. So how can you hear transcendental sound? So that is Krishna's mercy, that he agrees. But how
even a materialistic can chant Hare Krishna. Like yesterday one devotee was asking that we say we chant Krishna's name once and we don't go to hell, but all the materialists, they chant Krishna's name and they do Jai Sri Krishna and they do all kinds of frauds and cheating of people and all these things going on. So what is that? So basically it has to be offenseless. So when you receive a name from parampara, so that is why we say parampara. So through this mundane sound, only when it is from parampara, the unbroken chain, the purity of that sound is preserved. When I heard that, my hair was standing on end. Oh my God, I realized that is the power of parampara. That so many people, materialists also, they take the name of Krishna, but they continue with their material activities, because that is why in the Bhagavatam it is said, until you hear from a pure devotee, the transcendental sound from parampara. That is where we are fortunate. We get this sound from parampara. So Prabhupada is speaking. So it is completely transcendental sound. Just like Krishna's blue is nothing of the material shades of blue that we can even see and we can perceive. It is none of that blue. But it is compared to the bluish, darkish blue rain cloud. But that, even that is not his blue. His blue is transcendental, but we can compare. Somehow he creates a reflection of that color here, so that at least we can perceive. So that is why one should not try to, although deities are the best medium, but eventually nama rupa guna lila, when our chanting is pure, the rupa guna lila, they reveal themselves. So our chanting, when refined, when it becomes very focused, very in the mode of pure goodness and pure goodness, the purified intelligence, so then gradually one is able to perceive, because the intelligence is right next to the soul, he gradually begins to perceive the spiritual form, qualities, and then the activity. But eventually the soul has to awake and reveal himself. So that is only when, like I said at the beginning of the class, that the soul's nature is only in relation to Krishna. So the yogis go via the route of the soul and gradually trying to reach the Paramatma. Whereas here, in bhakti, and even Patanjali also agrees, by Ishvara Pranidhana, only by surrender unto Ishvara, when you hear the pastimes of the Lord, which is transcendental sound vibration. And that is what they are saying. Prabhupada explains the difference between mundane sound, because it is all in relation to lamentation, pain, and even when it comes to the level of soul, I am soul, I am Brahman. But even then, it's boring, because he has not found his true activity. It is just like there are great sadhus. Radha Govinda Maharaj explains that there are great sadhus who are doing Brahma Vidya cultivation. They are very austere. They live in an ashram. There are even sadhus who are standing on one leg. They are talking about soul, atma. If you see the documentary on this, Naga Babas, Naga sadhus, they are all doing this. Very austere, very celibate, and all these things. Yet their happiness they are accustomed to smoking ganja or bhang because they are not experiencing the transcendental happiness, although one may be very austere, will celebrate. So, there is a require, there is a need for the pleasure of the soul, and if it is not, and if he does not understand Ishvara or Krishna, Narayana, and he does not associate with the pure sound, name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme, then he falls down. And that's what is happening with everybody else. So even the yogi, so he explains, so what is the problem? They are so austere. So they are so austere. So how in the why they do not take pleasure, or why they do not dance in the kirtan? Why are they not in complete loving association of devotees and taking pleasure in the transcendental name, form, qualities, kirtan, aarti? Why are they not doing it? So he says that the one thing that the devotee, fortunately, from the Guru Parampara, what he has, what a yogi does not have, is he does not have the seed from the Parampara. So the Parampara seed is very, very important. So that is why Srila Prabhupada said that, so when somebody hears Prabhupada singing, he may not come to the temple. So devotees, of course, they were very young during Prabhupada's. So Prabhupada said, once one hears Hare Krishna, takes the instructions and starts chanting Hare Krishna, he is automatically initiated. Initiated in the sense he has begun his spiritual progress. So is he initiated? Prabhupada said yes, because he has received the seed of that sound. So formal initiation is important, but when you get the seed from the Parampara, the transcendental seed from the Parampara, yes, then your doors open up for the yogi. So, the yogi, then, or a devotee, tasmat yogi bhava arjuna. So, every devotee is already a yogi, because he is following all those principles. But at the same time, the most fortunate thing is he has gotten the seed from the Parampara. So when we take to this process, we are actually only getting a seed. We have not yet started. So this seed needs to be watered, developed into a tree. And then this bhakti lata bij, this has to reach the lotus feet of Krishna. And that hearing and chanting. So once you have, so in the Yoga Sutras also, he explains that there is a certain level of growth to which you have to put an effort. But after the level of the mind, when one transcends the level of the mind, then the growth is automatic. So the yogi's struggle is yuktahara viharasya. And once he has resolved his conflict with material occupation, with material lifestyle, once he regulates, detaches and surrenders to his degree of surrender, the Lord reciprocates. And to the degree he hears, then this hearing itself will elevate him. Exposure to the, it is like exposing yourself to this radiation, like the cancer patient is exposing himself to radiation, then it will act. So similarly, hearing of Krishna's names immediately awakens the soul. Immediately. And the soul right now is trying to experience itself, and more he hears about his Swarupa, about his relation, about the loving service unto the Supreme Lord, the soul is gradually getting his memory back. And that is what Arjuna says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Labdha Moha. I have gone. This Moha is over. And then Labdha Smriti. Then he says, now I get my memory. Now what memory? He says, my Nashta Moha. Correct. Nashta Moha. He says, Nashta Moha. Smriti Labdha. My Moha is gone and memory has come back. What memory has come back? So basically, the soul itself has knowledge. And when we say Divya Gyan Hrade Prakashito, the knowledge of the soul is there. We have to only open it. We have to only clear the anartha. And that is what it says, is that the sunlight, the mercy of the Lord is available. But as long as you sit locked with all your doors locked in darkness, Om Ajnana Timirandasya, you have to chant Om Ajnana Timirandasya and come out to the sunlight. You have to expose yourself to the process. And what a yogi does is only removes his obstacles. The mercy, that knowledge is already going to flow through. He has to only remove the obstacles. It is like, the example is given, it is like there is a neighboring field with water and the farmer's field, it has a wall. All you have to do is open the wall and the water from that field flows to your field. So nature is always giving. The sun is always giving. The moon is always giving. The fruit trees are already always giving. The Lord is always giving. We have to become. So he explains that the receptor, the one who accepts, he has to eagerly accept it. Prahlad Maharaj says, the Lord is eager to give mercy, the devotee. And he is just waiting for the eagerness of the devotee. And here we see the yogis are saying the same thing. Swadhu, swadhu, pade, pade. They are saying so much relishment. So much relish. So, it is the real activity of the soul. The real activity of the soul to completely please the Lord. The activities of the mode of pure goodness. And although we may not be ready, but if we continuously engage, like Srila Prabhupada says, the example is very appropriate. The Prabhupada explains the iron rod and fire. So when the iron rod is in fire continuously, I mean, it takes a long time of continuous exposure. The moment you take it out, it becomes cold again. It's an iron rod. Prabhupada gave a very appropriate example because that is our situation. We are such hard, cold iron rods. And even if you put it in the fire, it takes a long time to heat, burn, and then become one with the fire. It needs such extreme hearing, chanting, and human life is meant to make enough time in our lives so that we can simply hear and chant. Reduced eating, minimal. We should minimize. And once Bhakti Vikas Maharaj was giving the explanation of yoga, he said, yoga is not meant just to pass proper stool and urine and keep yourself fit. Yoga means to stop past stool and urine. And he gives the example of Dhruva Maharaj. He said, Dhruva Maharaj, to see Narayana, 6 months, Radhanath Maharaj gave a powerful class. And he said, within 6 months, Dhruva could see Narayana with the sheer determination and practice. Remember, 6 months he could see the Lord face to face. Remember, Maharaj has said in the lecture again and again and again. Maharaj is saying, remember, 6 months. We've been chanting for many, many years. All of us would have definitely got some experience of Krishna. That is what is keeping us going. Krishna gives that initial Google ad, love me. And he gives you a symptom. You get tears in your eyes during kirtan, this, that. You get a lot of ecstasy, hair standing on end. But after that, initial symptoms go away. Then he makes you work hard for it. So, the yogi, he has to take up. So that's why one of the austerities I really realized was, if we can control eating, so I did this. So I was not thinking I will survive 23 days, but from my personal experience, now I'm able to sit in one place, Siddhasana, for like 2.5 hours, 3 hours to chant. And gradually, once you bring yourself to that mode of goodness, and even in the level of yoga, it is said, if you are able to sit in Siddhasana in one place, so there is nothing, no better purification of nadis than that. So, continuously one has to elevate oneself to the mode of pure goodness. And the mode of goodness is so magical, mystical. Vasudeva Sthiti. It is mystical. Because it's Krishna. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate giram yatkrapat maham vande shri guram dinatarinam paramananda madhavam. Even a dumb man can speak. Even a lame man can cross mountains. So we all can definitely see Krishna face to face. It is possible. Provided we develop that eagerness that is shown in this verse. We are not tired. Because it's like you have to cross that. When a powerful sound barrier, there is a supersonic plane. And the supersonic plane, when it is about to break the barrier of sound, the pilot experiences the worst vibration. It's like really in, the plane is really shaking as though it's going to crash. But moment it crosses the sound barrier, there is a sonic boom, boom. Like, there is a blast and it's like... But then, in the supersonic speed, it's a totally different world for the plane. And that was the reason supersonic planes were banned for passenger, because it created such a huge sound at all airports and many other places. And but anyway, that's a different thing. But then after that, the plane becomes smooth, very smooth. So bhakti means changing your very personality. For example, we have Indian body or Western body. So then we have certain things which are Indian Western, depending on our body. Indians, we are very attached to Indian politics and this and that. And Western, we are, or Americans, we are attached to American politics or situations. So that's the kind of thinking. But in the transcendental platform, you see everything in terms of Krishna and Dharma. Your thinking is at such a purified platform. Prabhupada saw, Prabhupada wherever he went, I see the same thing everywhere. But death, old age, I see the same thing everywhere. A liberated soul sees the same thing everywhere. He's not in that sense. Of course, some taste, this thing might be there. Sattvic taste, food and all that. But in general, his mentality is freed from Dehatma Buddhi. He's on the spiritual platform. So in this way, we are very fortunate to sum up that we have received this seed from the transcendental parampara. And we have a responsibility of yuktahara viharasya. Reduce our material activities to the minimum. And not only reduce the activities to the minimum, but also the attachment to the results of those activities also to the minimum. Depend on Krishna and then surrender to the process. Chant without any material worry, by just focusing on attentively, exclusively on nothing but the holy names of the Lord and every day study here, chant this Srimad Bhagavatam and CC. And in this way, this world of transcendental realization, the name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Lord will definitely be revealed to us. Hare Krishna. So I will stop here. And sorry, I think I went a little bit over time maybe, but thank you. And any questions or comments, please let me.
Hey Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much Prabhuji for the nice class and specifying about how the parampara is so potent and to receive the holy names that is nice to receive through the parampara that makes it potent, and talking about what all we can control from our side to put us in the position to receive. Thank you very much Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Anyone has any questions, comments, or realizations? Please go.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much for this very beautiful class and very practical class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for the class. It was, as Mataji just said, it was very enlightening. I also appreciate all of the things you said. It was actually encouraging to me to continue practicing and chanting the holy name and the power of receiving the holy name from parampara rather than, you know, from other sources. I'm also looking forward to your book. I've been waiting for Garuda Das's book as well, so I'm looking forward to yours. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, my book is completely pictorial. So it is with the mind maps and pictures. It's like this vidya, avidya, how it happens, what leads to what. So all these technical aspects. So nowadays my classes are more technical. So gradually, my next book, next month I'm starting on Bhagavatam. So it'll from next month my classes will be more pastimes. But this month I'm doing this, so they are very technical.
Well, yeah. When will your Yoga Sutra book be released?
Actually, I had a week ago, I had Mandala Publishers. They are published and distributed in a big platform. So in 2 weeks, I have to submit the final thing. Then based on how soon, depending on this lockdown thing also, so we are going to decide on a date. So hopefully by the end of this month, we will know how soon we can launch it.
Oh, good, good. Okay. Well, I will definitely keep an eye out for it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the beautiful class. It was very nice class.
Hare Krishna, Madhuji.
Hare Krishna devotees, is there any more questions for Prabhuji? Or else we can end the call by paying our obeisances to Prabhuji. So thank you so much, Gaur Natar Prabhuji, for coming on the call and giving your time and valuable association and enlightening on this topic, Prabhuji. So with this, I will pay my obeisances to you and all the devotees on the call. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindobhyaye vacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Anantakoti vaishnavrindaki jai, namachari shila haridas thakur ki jai, chaitanya chaitamrita ki jai, his grace Gaur Nataraj Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji. for coming on the call and giving your association. Hare Krishna. Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.